Welcome to the 13th episode of the Nonstop Podcast with Pooja. With me, I have the very radiant Neha. Welcome to the podcast,
Thank
Neha.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So Neha is not just a spectacular woman. She's also an instrumental engineer, but also a makeup and a beauty brand owner. So this is very exciting. It's exciting to see that, you know, Indian women of color own such incredible brands. So I'll let you introduce yourself, Neha.
Of course. That was, I think, a wonderful introduction. I don't know how I'm going to top it, but yes, my name's Neha. I've lived in Chennai all my life. I'm actually an instrumentation engineer and an MBA graduate with marketing. So I have a little bit of business in my head and a little bit of engineering in my bones. And I love everything creative, which is why I think we eventually created Novavi. It was about being colorful. It was about adding color and brightness to the lives of women, men, whoever wanted to wear makeup. And more importantly, I think I wanted to create something that suited people like me, like my complexion, my city, my weather. And also I have extremely sensitive skin, so I wanted to put that in as well. So we're a clean beauty brand that keeps it fun. Typically you associate clean with, okay, very demure, very subtle, very monotone shades, but we're trying to keep it very colorful and fun, but still safe for sensitive skin.
I think that's wonderful. So Novavi is your brand's name.
Yes.
And the next right question would be, what does it mean?
Of course, we get asked that all the time. Yeah. So Novavi is a Latin portmanteau. It doesn't mean anything by itself, but Nova is the root word for new. And Vi comes from the word aviary, aviation, so birds. So thus associating to wings. So it's new wings of beauty. We sort of wanted to talk about how makeup should set you free, you know? That's the story.
Yeah, before I dive into also, like, you know, more categorized questions on what does your product symbolize and what kind of, you know, R&D are you investing in it, I do want to ask, you know, everything in life comes from an inspiration. And sure. I'm sure for you to land up with such a, you know, incredibly intricate kind of line of work,
yep,
something must have inspired you or something must have ignited some kind of spark in you. What was that?
For sure. I think... like I was telling you a while back, I come from experience in very male-dominant industries. I've worked for automotive, I've worked for oil and gas. But I think when I wanted to do something of my own, I wanted it to be something that everyone would enjoy, and definitely women would enjoy a lot. And beauty is something very close to my heart. I love makeup. I think it's something that brings joy if used the right way. And I think the first inspiration for me was definitely my mother. I remember as a, must be 4-5 year old, seeing my mom put on her Lakme lipstick and go to work. And I used to be like, wow, that's like a goddess. And I think from then, the journey just got, you know, watching like my friends, myself experience makeup. And then eventually when I decided to start something, I knew it had to be something to do with beauty. And specifically makeup happened because I did see a gap. I did see that there are options in India, but they're not as friendly as I would like for them to be in a very holistic way for people like me. And that's why I created it.
Okay, that's beautiful. And now we have to get into the product question. So you kind of emphasized a lot on, you know, the fact that there was a gap, mm-hmm, and you were trying to like kind of, you know, submerge something that works not just for our skin tones, but also for our weather conditions, yes, and also for our beauty standards. So what was that that was available in the market, and what was that you invested also in clean beauty?
Yes.
I believe it's a technology or R&D that you worked on.
Sure.
So let us know, what is this clean beauty and what kind of gaps did you try and bridge?
Sure. So I think the first thing we started off with when we started the brand was eye makeup, because eye and lip makeup is what most Indian women use. It's widely used. And starting off with eye makeup was, A, I was personally very passionate about it, but also because we saw from our market research that there are a lot of women who are still looking for something as simple as a Kohl pencil that doesn't, you know, rash up their eyes or irritate their eyes and doesn't like get them all uncomfortable, that gives the color payoff that they want, that doesn't smudge. That's a lot of things, but we had to create one product that could do that. and we had to keep it clean. Now, what's clean? Clean is basically toxin-free ingredients in whatever you're formulating. So it could be a natural extract, it could be a synthetic extract, but when it comes together, it has to be something that on a toxicity rating scale is below 2. So there's something called EWG. They sort of provide toxicity ratings for every ingredient used in cosmetics and makeup products. We sort of sat and did that research that, okay, are the ingredients we're using safe? Are they not? And what we found was most drugstore and available in the market products today are definitely not very safe for our eyes, but we just lather on anything, right? But I think the customer today is also much more aware than they were long, let's say 4 or 5 years before also. There's been a lot of change. We are also like a 3-year-old brand and we've seen the customer grow with us. The idea when we started this off was to make sure that people could try new things, could add these products on their skin without it affecting their skin negatively. That's just really the base story.
Okay, that's wonderful. And you said a lot about toxicity levels. So what are the different formulations that go into it? For example, we do read a lot of beauty articles in today's time that there's a lot of carbon that's been used
exactly
in the beauty products, and there's a lot of coal that's been used. And to produce these coals, there's a lot of like cruelty and like child labor in different parts of Asia. So does all of this also come under the old ambit of toxin? Or
absolutely. Yeah. So you've got that right. So see, scientifically clean is just toxin-free. But when we say clean, we're also trying to break toxic standards of beauty in our country, which is, you'll see it out there on all, like look at all of the hoardings and look at all of the advertisements that any major makeup brand creates, right? It's always for a skin tone that has nothing to do with us. It's typically a lot of, women from outside our country representing their products, but they're selling it to us. So there are indie brands that are trying to change that, and we are definitely one of them. But not just complexion, right? It's also about how you make the consumer feel. So if you go and look at our content, like all our points of interaction with our customers is through our website, through our Instagram, through our social media. And you'll see that these are real people. We don't believe in filtering content. We don't believe in making people look different than they are. It's just about accentuating what you have, celebrating what you have, instead of looking for ways to cover up what you think are faults because someone set a very unrealistic standard for you. So 100%, I do believe that we're trying to break toxic standards of just beauty in our country. Also, like you said, we are 100% cruelty-free. We do not import from China and resell our products. A lot of brands do these things, right? There's very little sense put behind formulations and all of that, but we make sure that the formulas are ours. We manufacture in India. They're FDA-approved factories. We know that the ingredients that are going inside do not contain carbon black. Like you rightly said, our coal, the black product, is made of iron oxide, which is a mineral pigment. So it's a grayish pigment, but if you work with it, it will give you that super beautiful black finish as well. Similarly, there's no carmines in our lipsticks. Like there's no lead, there's no mercury. It's shocking that international brands still make products that have some of these ingredients in them. And it is not impossible to change the way things are done. But for whatever reasons, a lot of brands are still not making that shift. But we've tried to, right from the beginning, keep these foundations right so that everything we create fits those standards of what we want. We want to keep it clean intrinsically. We want to also keep it clean just in terms of how the consumer perceives us.
Yeah, I think that's just so elaborately put. And I need to also follow this question up and ask, you also work with very specific segment of allergy-free related formulation.
Correct.
So what are the kinds of allergies that you think a makeup product or a similar cosmetic product could give, and what is that X factor that you have tried put into your products?
Sure. So one thing that we've had our consumers come and tell us is they develop headaches when they wear a certain coal, or they have irritation and dryness. We've had customers who've had really, really rashed up lips after they've used a certain lipstick. And needless to say, acne and rosacea and all of that can happen if, you use the wrong product on your face. So those are the sort of allergies and sensitivities that can develop if you use the wrong product on your skin. So you've really got to be aware when you put something on, always patch test it. It is difficult to patch test a kajal or a lipstick on your hand. So maybe use it, you know, just at the bottom of your eyes. Or if it's a face product, use it by the base of your chin, your jaw. If it's a lip product, use very little just at the base of your lips and then keep it on for 10, 15 minutes. If it's not, you know, giving you an allergy or a sensitivity, it could be true that this product suits you, right? So we are not saying that one product will suit everybody, but what we're creating has so far been really well taken up by people who have very sensitive, allergy-prone skin, and that has sort of helped them, you know, use products that they can use every day and still not be worried about, oh my God, is this going to affect my skin?
And what's that ingredient if it's...
So it's not one thing. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. If I told you, in the eye makeup, we don't use... So the silicone content is lesser. It is waterproof, but it's still not as much silicone that it's just going to like stay in your eyes and it's going to be impossible to remove. There are some liquid lipsticks that just don't come off. Like it'll leave your lips really chapped. We don't do such intense, chemical-heavy, just for the sake of creating like a marketing gimmick, we don't create products like that. Like our lipsticks don't plump your lip glosses, don't plump your lips, they won't dry your lips out, they're infused with oils. We're trying to do that. We're trying to infuse ingredients in each formulation. So that would be different in each formulation. In the lip gloss, it's probably, like I said, it's oils. In our kohl, we've used some almond oil. In our lip balms, we have shea butter. We have beeswax, which is... So that's what I'm saying. Every ingredient in every product is different. But what we've tried to do is we've tried to add ingredients that will soothe your skin while it will also make it look more accentuated.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. And also in this whole process of, you know, kind of finding the right balance in the formulation and what goes with what, because you come from a completely different background of engineering and oil and gas, maybe different kinds of oils, I'm sure.
Yes, of course.
And so what is the kind of R&D or the thought process that goes behind this? What kind of work or research do you put into it? I mean, is it some sort of networking that you do and then you accumulate information and then you have a specific, group of scientists or a team that works and tests this? Or how does the whole thought process work?
This is such an interesting question, yeah, because this is the core of what we do. I am the founder. I know what I want to create. I know what products I want to launch. But I am, like you rightly said, not a cosmetologist or a chemical engineer. We have a formulator on board who I go to with what I want. And I clearly tell her the research that happens, of course. I want to say before we launched, we researched for a whole year. We've taken 1 year to figure what sort of products we want, what doesn't sit well in a product, who are the vendors we'd want to work with, who would we want to manufacture with. This takes a lot of time, right? It's not just snap and the product's going to be here tomorrow, right? It's a lot of work. And so the person who creates the formula is someone who's a properly educated, certified formulator. She creates the formulas for us, and then we take the formula to our manufacturer who makes the products for us.
And you said that you're completely cruelty-free.
Yes.
So what are the testing processes that go behind
it? So again, this is something that the manufacturer does for us. We get proper certificates saying these have not been tested on animals. They have patch tests. There are people who sit with the product on their hands. There are chemical strips that you can dip in the product and figure if it's reactive, yeah, if it's not reactive. There's a lot of processes readily available today. So they manufacture, they get our products tested in labs, and then they give us like properly certified products.
Now that the more accentuating parts of my questions is over, yes, I'm going to like take you and dip you into a more calmer environment
of
with
course.
My questions.
Yes.
So who are the kind of people that have had these products, and what kind of feedback have you gotten? And what was that one feedback that really moved you, who mm-hmm. you thought, you know, was a big player in the industry, or for example, that whose feedback really meant a lot to you? Because you're a small to mid-sized brand,
yes,
and it's hard to get the kind of visibility with the kind of market that we have,
yep,
not just from India, but it's a very globally, you know, acquired market.
Yeah.
So what convincing that you had to do it yourself from the feedback that you got to keep going?
Okay, this is a wonderful question as well. I think when we started off with three products. And today we have almost 55 plus SKUs. And that's been very quick growth for us for a three-year-old brand. And this is purely because of the feedback we've received. If I were to tell you one thing that really stayed with me, it would be just last year. Last year was a brilliant year for us, by the way. We had some very interesting content creators really speak about the brand, and we grew drastically. And then from the customers we've been meeting, there was this one really nice lady who was like, I don't know what it is, but the days I used your highlighter, my boss is really nice to me. And and I've sort of patch tested this, because when I don't wear it, he's really mean to me. And I was like, I mean, obviously, yeah. It's just something cute, but imagine how much she must love us for her to be sending that message across to me.
Yeah.
And then we've had people tell me, you know what, I'm just getting rid of all the other products and I'm creating a whole kit of Novavi and launch more products because I don't want to use anything else in the market. So when someone says that to you and is not your best friend or your family, it's wonderful. That's all a business owner wants. It's definitely something that drives me.
Yeah, and also, you know, there are so many myths behind skincare now is such a big thing.
Yes.
Everybody wants to,
yes.
You know, have this flawless glass-like skin, the Korean beauty standards and so on and so forth. So what is your take on, beauty products mm-hmm. or cosmetic products mm-hmm. having skincare incubated in them?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think they are two different things and can only overlap each other?
So I believe skincare is skincare. Makeup cannot replace skincare because it's impossible for you to lather on foundation as a moisturizer day in and day out, right? Skincare will always be more quintessential. Makeup, though I run a makeup brand, I believe it's a very personal choice. Not everybody wants to wear makeup, and I can live with that, right? Whereas skincare, I think everyone should invest on. It could be something as simple as a sunscreen and a moisturizer. I know that today there are a zillion options and brands are making it impossible for you to like really just keep it minimalistic. But minimalistic skincare is what I think will work. Don't put too many things on your skin and complicate it. I think Indians, we're gifted in a certain way. We all have good skin. We have beautiful features. Every woman in the world is beautiful. I just wish we could see that, you know. It's very easy for us to see beauty in the other person. We're very skeptical when it comes to ourselves. But I think that's what I want to change. I want to make the women of Novavi believe in their own beauty.
Yeah, and if you had to have like, you know, a kind of a post-it, like picture perfect ideology of this is the brand that I want to have my brand compete with or mm-hmm. be on the same level as this brand,
mm-hmm.
it could be from anywhere in the world
mm-hmm.
or any particular, you know, celebrity or non-celebrity that has been using a product and that you really felt and resonated with and you want to get on the same level. Do you have such a person?
I do. Actually, so there are two brands that I really look up to. There's something called Merit. I love what Merit does. They also create really, but they're the demure, very chic makeup brand.
Yeah.
But they've got their game right. Their ingredients are beautiful. Their products are very easy to use. And there is this Dutch brand called, if I'm not saying it wrong, it's called Kaye Weiss. They're a clean beauty principle. Like, they're the it brand for me. I'd love to be something like that someday.
And also one of the important things in today's time is, you know, you are a marketing background
yeah.
/ wizard with an MBA.
Yeah.
So you do know a lot goes into packaging and
yes.
people are very concerned about how the outer appearance look as well, even if it's a very simple product.
Sure.
And you said not only women use it, but also men have
yeah.
used
yeah.
your products. And, you know, skin is a very neutralizing thing, right? And there's a lot of kind of false information that there is men products and women products to just make this kind of a whole facade about
yeah.
what a woman can slather, a man cannot. Even though skin is skin, of course, there is a dryness level that
yes.
does differ. But I'm sure everybody wants to get to a point to accept that, you know, look, men also want to look
absolutely.
Bright. Not necessarily with a highlighter, maybe with some other product,
sure.
you know. So whatever the beauty standards might be. So what do you feel that is that one product that, you know, in your brand or something that would be like, okay, I don't mind who picks this up.
Honestly, I think anybody can use my products. I feel like today we're in a world where everyone has the right to express themselves the way they'd like to. We've had so many, I want to say we've had men, women, we've had people of all kinds who identify as so many different in so many different ways come up to our stores, pick up our products, really enjoy using them. And I'm happy with everybody. It's the same thing for me. If you're someone who loves makeup and you're wearing it, I don't care who you are, where you're from, right? So I believe in that very strongly. I think today men taking care of themselves is just men grooming themselves better. Yeah. Women have always wanted to groom themselves well, and now men are catching up. It's really as simple as that. Yeah. And if a man wants to wear an eyeliner, or if he wants to wear kohl in the day, if he wants to wear a lip gloss, it's his choice. I'm happy for him. And we are here for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think my second part of the question, which got swayed away in my previous question, was the packaging aspect of things. Yes. So what kind of work goes into that?
So the packaging, we did take help from a professional graphic designer to sit with us, bring the whole idea to life, because it's not easy to do something like that. We get a lot of love for our packaging. I wish I had something here to show you, but so the colors of Novavi are pastel but bright. I think we've found the right mix of colors, and that makes the packaging really appealing. We've made sure that our packaging resonates what we believe in as a brand. So you'll see the faces of real women, the faces of my customers on some of our boxes. You'll see the ingredients. You'll see a QR code that'll take you to my website where you'll find all the details. So we've made sure we follow all the standards, but we also keep it fun to attract attention. Yeah. So packaging is, like you said, it's very important. It's what draws the customer first, right? So I want to say we've found 90% of a sweet spot there.
And what are some of your most, very close to art accolades that you've gotten since you started the brand that you do want to give a shout out to, because you're in the podcast?
Of course. Yeah. I think the biggest deal for us was last year when we got nominated for the Elle Beauty Awards for our black eyeliner. The black eyeliner was one of our first three products, and I know how much effort it took to bring that product to life. It's the most beautiful bottle. It's got this wonderful waterproof formula. I'm wearing it right now. I love the product, and I was so, so pleased that something like Elle would actually choose us organically, right? So we sent the product to a jury and we got selected. We were nominated. We didn't win, but I think just that nomination was a huge win. We were nominated with brands like Clinique, with Simply Nam, with I think Stila was on it as well. So it was a big deal for us to actually be nominated.
I think that's wonderful and wonderful to hear. And do you have ambitions of having, kind of another branch of line of products, maybe all the way up to hair or some other kind? Or do you think that you kind of want to focus on the prime beauty products?
No, I think if things go well for us, we would really like to have a line of skincare products that are for, again, men, women equally. Sunscreens, I think we are already working on a sunscreen formula by the side, but that is definitely something that I want to launch, because in Chennai, in the south of India, we need sunscreen to survive. Yeah. So sunscreens, basic moisturizers, very easy everyday skincare is something that I really want to get into.
And also you're a woman entrepreneur, and this podcast is for women, and some of the more amazing, incredible women have been on the podcast. Yep. And more incredible and interesting women listen to it.
Sure.
And I'm sure a lot of this comes with a lot of business challenges in a very male dominant society, and maybe it is very favorable, but what are some of the things that you are inclined towards? Are you inclined towards also putting a foot on an investing channel? Do you want to bring your brand to some of the more popular investing gigs, or is that on your cards, or what did you think about it? And how did you bring in the funding to even start off to where you are?
Yeah, so when we started off, I mean, even today, we are a bootstrap brand. This was mostly my savings, and I took a teeny tiny loan from my parents, and the good thing is we've been able to survive. We've been able to sort of garner the capital that we needed to sort of continue working. But having said that, yes, I have big ambitions for the brand. I do want Novavi to be international someday. And I know to scale quickly, we will need some funding of some sort. And it's not something we've actively started doing. I don't have a pitch deck today, but it is something that's on the back of my mind. I sort of want to first reach a certain target internally. We are pretty close. But once we touch that number in my mind, we are probably going to start looking for investments.
Yeah, that's great. And what do you think is that one, you know, kind of an outer door to get to international level? Is it just e-commerce, or do you intend on like putting your products out in certain exhibitions, or how do you make it to an international leg?
So I think to start with, of course, we'd have to just go international with our e-commerce platform through our website. We already offer international shipping, but it's not yet at scale. We just have customers who love us, who have friends in India, and then they buy from us. But yes, we would eventually want to like have channels in different countries. But like you rightly said, I think having a footprint in retail spaces abroad would make a lot of sense for us. We do have certain countries in mind where we would like to sort of launch. Maybe it's on the 5-year plan if things go well for us, but I think retail stores, multi-brand outlets, and the website. That's how I see us go international at this point of time.
Yeah, I think it was just a lovely conversation to hear you. But we always kind of end the podcast by asking two questions, which is my favorite part of the podcast in any conversation. We always ask the guests what's their favorite book and what's the movie that changed their life.
Okay.
In no particular order. So do you have any?
Honestly, I'm not an avid reader, but I think one book that a very erudite friend of mine recommended to me was Sapiens. I think I loved reading the book and it blew my mind. I think it opened my mind out to just what we are, just how the human mind has evolved. It was a very beautiful experience, that book for me. And in terms of a movie, I want to say Interstellar is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah.
It constantly reminds me of how we're just small little things in like the whole, you know, universe, where we take ourselves a little too seriously. And though the movie is so serious, when I come out of it, I feel immensely grateful for being such a tiny thing. Yeah. And I just stopped taking myself too seriously, I think. So those are my answers.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Sneha. It has been a pleasure to speak with you. And I do think that even though you feel very tiny, the contribution that you're doing is massive, not just to people of our skin tone, but also just the beauty industry in general, to have a background that you do and to support clean beauty and all that wellness and good initiatives that you are on the right path of. And I do wish that you do make it on any and every space and forum possible.
This is so kind of you.
Thank you very much for giving us your time and coming on the podcast.
Absolutely. I also want to say you're doing such a brilliant job. As someone who's doing so many things, it's wonderful how on such a short break to Chennai, you've made time to like make this happen so professionally. All the very best to you too. I hope this year makes all your dreams come true, makes all our dreams come true. Yeah. It's been wonderful. Thanks.
Thank you.